May he who began a good work in you continue it on to completion on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. His word for our meditation today is the Song of Moses. From Exodus chapter 15, we'll just read the first part of that song, verses 1 through 11. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. By the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood firm like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, I will pursue. I will overtake them. I will divide the spoils. I will gorge myself on them. I will draw my sword and my hand will destroy them. But you blew with your breath and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, dear Christians, and especially you, Robert. Why do you want to be a Christian? Why do you want to stand up in front of God's people and before God himself today and swear that you would rather die than give up Jesus Christ? Not even death will separate me from the Lord. How could you want that? There are so many university professors out there that when you get into their classroom, if they start to talk about religion, you're in a group of people which statistically 80% would think you're stupid. Off your... A lot of other things they'll say about you too that I can't say here. Because you believe the Bible? And those professors find it their goal in life to try to strip you of that faith. And one of the things they like to say to young people is, that's just your parents' faith. What are you saying? I can remember a girl in campus ministry my vicar year when I asked her about going to church, never at school, only at home because her mom made her. What's it mean? What's it matter to be a Christian? Is it just your parents' faith? Or no faith at all for you? Rather be with the Egyptians on the side opposed to the Lord. Now you're here to stand and say, I'm on the Lord's side. What brings you to that point? And why are there others who would say, I want nothing to do with that? You know, you've learned a lot of facts over the years, not just in our 2 years of catechism class, but 8 years now in the Lutheran school at Christ Lutheran Church, Sunday school before that, your home instruction from your parents and their example. All those facts. There's really just one thing I hope will stick in your mind, even if you would forget everything else. As important as the facts are, this, more than anything, I hope you have this deep appreciation for how truly unique our God is. The God of the Bible is like none other. And so Moses' question and Moses' song here is really our question today and the rest of your life in an adventure on earth and in heaven to find out more about the answer. Who is like our God? Like none other. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is a warrior. A lot of people don't like that battle language anymore. They'd rather just think about God as a nice old grandfather. I like grandfathers too, but God is more than that. He's a warrior. And when people fight against his family, he's right there. And as you learn what it means that the Lord is a warrior on your side and on the side of your family, it's a great and awesome thing to say, my father's God is my God. Because the Lord is a warrior who delivered us, and you ought to feel like the Europeans did when the American GIs came through and liberated them from the steel-fisted army of Hitler. The Lord is a warrior. It's good to have the Lord fighting on our side. Moses had a song, and the Israelites sang this song because Pharaoh needed a little convincing. Maybe you remember that story. You could probably stand up and tell it, but for the sake of everyone else, do you remember what it took to get Pharaoh to say, okay? The Lord was telling Pharaoh, let my people go, and Pharaoh says, who is the Lord that I should let his people go? 10 plagues. And the death of the firstborn son. Robert, aren't you a firstborn son? Every firstborn son ought to think about it. What would have saved you from death in Egypt when the angel of the Lord went through and killed every firstborn son in every home, including in Pharaoh's, and the animals too, and other slaves throughout the land? How was it that you would have been spared? It would have been that Passover lamb, the blood of an innocent animal, used according to God's command and promise and painted on the doorpost that the Lord would then fly over, pass over that home. And by the blood of the lamb, you would have been spared, as we are all spared by the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world and with a mighty, strong arm taught Pharaoh who the Lord is and why he should let God's people go. Who is the Lord that I should obey? Imagine yourself as Pharaoh. I suppose, Robert, if you saved and worked for a few more years and you finally got to buy your first car. Oh, we've talked about cars a little bit. All boys in catechism class this year. So a little bit about cars and sports along the way. You finally save and you get that car polished and pampered. That is the greatest set of wheels that ever rolled across the highway or off-road a little bit maybe. It's just great. But then you see another one that you really like better. And you think, well, if I sell this one to one of those other younger guys, then I can go out and buy a different car with the money I get from that. And so you take a check. And you find out the hard way how really ugly a check can be when it bounces. Now, you've got this bad boy who took your money and then he wrecks your first car. Can't even return that. You got nothing in the first car. The check is no good. You can't buy the second one. Now multiply that a million times. You start to feel a little bit like Pharaoh. When he said, okay, go, leave. Take everything with you. He loses his whole slave labor force, the whole economy of Egypt, which wasn't destroyed yet, surprisingly, in the plagues. The rest is gone when Pharaoh leaves. Because 600 chariots. Do you imagine Pharaoh, he gets these spies back and the spies say, great, they must be lost. They're coming back this way. And Pharaoh says, hitch up the chariots, ride out, for we'll trap them between us and the sea. I do believe this is probably where the expression came from, between the devil and the deep blue sea, trapped between a rock and a hard place. Because Pharaoh and his army chases down those Israelites not hard when they're coming back toward them. And I've cried for a lot less, I don't know about you, but a lot less than an army after me to kill me. So the people are crying out, and Moses is crying out to the Lord. And the Lord does a little convincing. Who is a God like our God? He's a warrior. Pharaoh apparently with his chariots had gone through what was dry ground and it had to be miles wide for 1.5, maybe 2 or 3 million people to pass over at night. And then Pharaoh goes through, and he gets to the other side, and his chariot wheels go wobbly because the Lord is fighting for the Israelites. They turn around. They're coming back toward the sea when the Lord, with his breath, blows the water back, and it must have been a tidal wave that came up on land, actually, and like huge hands of God, pulled Pharaoh and his army into the sea and drowned them all. The Lord is a warrior. It's better to have him fighting on your side and not be trying to fight against him. Moses sang the song, "I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my Yeshua." Remember that word? He has become my Yeshua. Old Testament, Joshua. New Testament, Jesus. The word salvation in the Old Testament, you can also just translate as Jesus. He has become my Jesus. He is my God, and I will exalt him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him and praise him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army is hurled into the sea. All it took was the Lord's breath. And Pharaoh and his army lost it all, fallen into the sea. The deep waters covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, is majestic in power. Like none other, our God is majestic. That ought to scare everybody in here. Our God is so majestic that he can read your thoughts. He knows whether you're paying attention to his word or despising his word by thinking of other things. He doesn't have to be like my father used to be when he was preaching and he would watch all of the eyes. And if our eyes were not there with him, he would just say our name right in the middle of the service. If you were one of my dad's kids, you woke up in a hurry. Because he'd just say it. That was scary. The God of the Bible knows your thoughts before you even think them. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow and he never forgets what you did yesterday. And you and I have a problem with the very first commandment that's in the Bible. Love the Lord. No other gods before me. Love the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind. And what do? We fear other things. We love other things and people more than we fear love and trust in God. We're like those Israelites crying out to the Lord. Weren't there graves in Egypt? Couldn't we have died there? We think when we get into difficult times in life that the Lord is somehow punishing us. And so we're afraid. We're afraid of practically everything. Until the Lord, through his spokesman here, through Moses in chapter 14, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still." Be still and trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord, he says, and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the earth. And if the Lord did not lead us to our Red Sea every now and then, when we're between a rock and a hard place where we have no more options, how would we ever know the power of the Lord or be able to say with the conviction of our fathers, "This is my God, not just something I believe because it's a tradition in the family. This is my God. Yes, my father's God. That's mighty powerful. But this God is majestic in glory, and that does not scare me anymore because he used his majesty to do for me what I could not do for myself." The Father, who said through Moses and through the Holy Spirit in Moses, "I am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands." The Father who loved us so much that he gave his one and only begotten Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Who is a God like our God? The most famous other God in the world out there, the one that's worshipped by millions, requires his people to sacrifice their children in suicide bombings. You want to tell me that's the same religion? The same God? Compared to the God of the Bible who gives his own Son, his one and only, into suffering and death to wash away all the times we feared, loved, and trusted in someone else or something else besides God? Oh, this is the merciful God. And he knows what mercy means. He gives himself in kindness and love and takes our sins away. He is majestic, majestic in glory. No other God like ours who's so full of surprises. Turn off the iPod. Listen to the song of Moses. The enemy boasted, I will pursue, I will overtake them, I will divide the spoils, I will gorge myself on them, I will draw my sword and my hand will destroy them. A lot of people like to brag. What did it take for the Lord to bring the end of that bragging of that king, most powerful in the world at the time? They just blew. The breath, the Holy Spirit, the water that he had piled up on both sides, the land that he had dried out for the people to walk on, and then the Egyptians to bring death on them, the Holy Spirit just blew and brought it all back on them. The breath of the Lord is the power of God in his holy word, the dear Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And that's all it took to make some pretty rotten surprises for Pharaoh at that time. As there will be some pretty rotten surprises for a whole lot of Americans and people out in the world going through this wide and easy path of your own opinions and your own old ideas, saying what you want about whatever you want. My body is mine. My tongue is my own. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And if you follow that broad and easy path, the Lord says it leads to destruction. It's a happy way to hell. But the narrow, winding, steep path, the Lord says, very few find it. But he's calling all of us today on that narrow path to follow the Lord, his one way. As Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm not making it up. And if I said otherwise, I'd be lying. Like so many preachers today, they're lying. And so is the media. If God had not given his only Son, we would have no Savior. And if salvation was so cheap and easy that you could get it by your own opinion, however you want to think, whatever you want to follow, then why did God have to sacrifice his Son? Why all these centuries of all these names throughout the Bible? I keep hearing this. Oh, he begat him. He begat him. They go into these genealogies like this is just made up and it's just, well, we don't want to read all those genealogies. Do you know what they tell you? These were real people in real time. This is not a book of myth and legend. There's no other religious book out there anywhere in the world that even comes close to these genealogies of real people in real time to show us this is the real God and the real way. The enemy boasted, got an awful surprise. And we have to ask, Lord, who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. Robert, you know the Lord who is majestic in holiness, and you know that in your baptism, he gave you that holiness. Clothed with Christ in Romans 6, it says, baptized and buried with Christ through baptism into death, that just as like Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, you too should walk in newness of life. That's this life of adventure following Jesus, led by the Spirit, the one who is full of surprises also for you. So I have a surprise for you today. I'm going to do as I've done for my Chinese friends, and I've told you about that, over in China where they have these names that Americans can't pronounce, so they often will ask, well, would you give me an American name? So there's at least a dozen people over in China that I may run into again someday, and I have this fear in my heart that they'll come up and expect me to remember their names, see? But I gave them names, and I'd like to give you an extra name today. As it stands now, according to your parents, it's Robert Douglas Dott. Like to add the name to you that will remind you of this sermon so that from henceforth you will be Robert Douglas Micah Dott. Because Micah is the name, Micaiah, remember that one? Who like God? That's just Hebrew. Micah means who like God? And in the last few verses of Micah's prophecy, he's singing the same song as Moses. So Robert Douglas Micah Dott. You hear Micah singing the song, who is like our God? Who, O Lord, is like you? Let's just read those last couple verses from the end of Micah. Minor prophet with a major message. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Micah, the last three verses. Who is a God like you? who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance. You do not stay angry forever. You do delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl our iniquities into the depths of the sea. You will be true to Jacob and show mercy to Abraham, as you pledged on oath to our fathers in days long ago. Who is a God like you? There is none other. My God, thank the Lord, your God. Amen. Please rise.